Recording's going.
Thank you all for coming. Recording's on?
It's going, we're ready.
All right, we call this meeting to order, and please let the minute show that we have present with us today, Joe Blankenship, Molly Poe. I'm blanking out on.
Cuevas, Beth.
That's right. And Tranquil Crosby.
Don't make me call roll.
And I will entertain a motion to, well, do I hear any amendments to the agenda? Okay, do I, there being none, do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So move.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Anyone against? Thank you very much. Approval of the minutes from the August meeting. Those were sent out to you. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Approval and a second, I mean, a motion and a second. Anyone against? Thank you very much. I look around and I see that we have, well, I guess he is public. We have David with us today that's talking about the project at the Y, but so he is a public participant and a speaker. So there being no others, let's move on to item 3A, the Y capital expense project.
Okay, so I'm here to just give an update on where we are and where we're going in time frames and such. So we pretty much have it designed up and we'll be ready to advertise, ready to hand out in maybe 30 days with a complete package. One of the things I do want to do is sit down and review like signage and some other few little things that just to make sure that we stay on the same page before we actually wrap it up and get it out the door. But it seems to be going well. One of the issues we've had is contacts with the modular building, because it was going to be a modular building. Well, they were from New Orleans and they were impacted by Hurricane Ida. And the impact was, I think, really the person, because we couldn't reach them for a period of time. We had difficulty making contact to make sure that some of the things that we designed were in line with what they made, what they built. We didn't want it to be something exotic. But anyway, we finally did get in touch with him, and we got our questions answered. Now we're just trying to wrap up our drawings on the architectural side and also the engineering side. We can send this out to mechanical and electrical and plumbing and such. So that's kind of where we're at.
We had previously said that Lynn, of course, since she's the East Bow rep, and Angela and myself were kind of the subcommittee, if you want to call it that, that would get in touch with David whenever he's ready to go over these things and kind of guide it on the board's behalf. So I think that's, if you're still available for that, mm-hmm. I know Lynn's still interested, so I think that's still a good setup there for as we move through these next steps.
Maybe sometime later this week?
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, I was thinking Thanksgiving week is bad for me.
Sometime later this week.
Okay.
Answer all the little questions and make sure we.
That sounds great. I know Lynn is out of town right now, but I don't think it's a long trip, so I'll get with her and see if maybe Thursday afternoon or Friday afternoon mm-hmm. works.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Retirement has its advantages.
And then we'll get with permission to advertise, and I'll get with Brian at the police jury to get the front-end documents and the package together that Beauregard Parish has in place, because the police jury technically is the people that have control over the bidding process. So we'll get with them and get the documents and make sure we're lined up with how they do the process. But I do know that we'll need permission to advertise at some point. As a board, the library has to vote, and the police jury has to vote.
Right.
Okay.
So do we want to, y'all tell me how you want to do this. The board this evening can either say, okay, that subcommittee we just talked about gets with David, guides it all, make sure that the cost estimate is still in line with our budget, and then that subcommittee gives the okay. The board votes tonight to say, yeah, the subcommittee could give the okay at that point. Or whenever we get to that point, we can call a special meeting of the board to come back here and do that.
I think they can get that.
I think so too.
Somebody give me a motion in a second.
I move that we allow the subcommittee or the committee to make that decision and report back to us.
Do I hear a second?
Second. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
That's a pretty standard process that we're close, but we don't want to hold up the system.
Mm-hmm.
When we're actually ready to go. So we normally get these permissions in place and voted on ahead of time, but we don't actually advertise until the powers that be say, let's go out.
Is there anything that's going to require a signature in that process?
Not from the library board, from the police jury, yes.
Okay. I was just thinking if we needed authorization to sign something.
I don't think we do at this point.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right.
Normally it's the president of the police jury that signs the advertisements.
Okay. And so we did go with a 20 wide, right?
28.
That was a 2 foot wide.
Double
wide. Okay.
14. 14 and 14. That's like 20, I don't remember. But yes, yes we did. Yes.
Okay.
Hooray.
Yeah, I'll double check with Lynn tomorrow.
Okay.
See if one of those days work with her, and I'll get with both of you as soon as I find out.
Okay.
Good.
And in the meantime, I'll get with the police jury to make sure I'm in line with their process so that this all just flows smoothly.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay.
Any other questions for me on this or anything else?
Anybody?
No.
Okay.
I think so.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank y'all.
Thanks for coming, David.
Mm-hmm. Y'all have a good evening.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye. And we move into the fun of looking at our budget for next year.
Okay. Go through my papers here and make sure I don't skip over anything important. So we're looking at beginning next year with an estimated fund balance of $7,472,704. And of that, I'm expecting $3,269,607 to be our carry forward, so the unassigned funds of that. And then whenever we go through the rest of this, add in our expected revenues, take out the expected expenditures, we're still looking at ending the year with an estimated $3.5 million as the fund balance at the end of the year. So as far as the fund balance goes, we're in good stead. And that would be if we were to spend all of the money we designate for all those designated funds, like the building and asset repair and replacement fund, that's 2 point something million. And all of the capital expense budgets we've got, if we finished all those projects and wiped those, but it's spending all of the funds, would leave us with these numbers.
So do you think that's going to hinder us getting our millage renewed? I mean, we
I've
don't
seen
have to
it
talk
happen.
About it.
Yeah,
but,
we're not talking about it much.
Right, but they
I've seen it come up for other library systems. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard any stirrings locally. So I'm not gonna say it couldn't, but I don't think it will. And really I was gonna talk about this a little more later, but I'll jump ahead. before our tax election, because we are in such an anti-tax climate and have been for quite a few years, I really think that our approach is going to be really hitting that it's our 75th anniversary hard. That's what we're promoting. We've been here this long. These are our current services. These are our services to help you move forward.
And it's a renewal.
And it is a continuation. It's not a new tax. So that's kind of what our plan is as far as that goes. There are definite laws about what you can and can't say when you're using public funds to advertise things like a tax renewal. You can't say vote yes for this if you're paying for it with public taxes.
Oh, really?
Really, you can't. You can say these are all the great things we do. Oh, by the way, there's a tax election, but you can't say vote yes.
What about us as individuals?
As individuals, you aren't paid. Y'all are here as volunteers. So my understanding is you can say what you want, but I, as a staff member and any of the other staff members, have to be very careful about what we say.
Right, but could we could put out an article for the paper that talks about the renewal and why we need it and that kind of stuff, right?
We could, yes. As long as we don't say, go vote yes for this.
Well, we can say go vote.
No, but we could say that the library needs this renewal to pass to.
Right, this is what that funds.
Right.
This is what you get for that money.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should do that. Of course, all our social media and print
absolutely,
and radio, you know, or whatever else we have.
I'm actually, one of the things that's, you'll see a fairly big change in our operational budget that I'm proposing in here from last year, or this year I should say, is a jump in operational, because I do want to get some billboards. I want to get more radio advertisement, look into television advertisement. I don't know which stations to go with for Beauregard Parish. You know, part of them get the Alexandria stuff, part of them get the Lake Charles. I don't know where to go with that, but it's something I want to look into. But I am putting like about $15,000 towards just advertisement for next year. So that's part of what that's
going for. Well, and what do you think? It should be like in the month before and not too far out, because people will forget, and you really want them to.
I'm wanting to do January through May.
Oh, that long.
And then the thing is on April 30th. So January through May, and then we'll do some more advertising for the 75th anniversary, which is actually in December, October through December, is where I want to really hit hard.
Could we possibly, like February, March, something like that, you could contact someone like John Bridges and let him do a little story about
how
great our library is, because I know a lot of people watch KPLC in our area.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think most people watch KPLC when I hear them looking, say, for the news or weather. That's what they're going to.
I think that would be a good idea.
And they use all formats. They use Facebook and they use Instagram.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Those feel good stories they do either in the morning or at the noon show, that sort of thing. Those are always nice.
You could even have maybe ask some of the meteorologists to come and do a little weather symposium.
Yeah,
you know, before hurricane season, you know, like pre-hurricane season.
Yeah, which could be April.
April,
right.
You know,
the
he would come and he would sell his little radios.
They used to do that at Walgreens in
right.
DeRidder.
Right.
They would set those up.
That sounds like a good idea.
I don't remember that. When were they doing that?
That
like the emergency radio? Yeah. The radio things?
They used to come in with programming for you.
They would go around to all the cities and do one in each community. The different weather folks would come out. That was probably pre-COVID. Well, yeah.
It was several years ago.
I'd say 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think they would even raffle one off or something like that too.
You know, they have a drawing for a free one or something like that.
Okay,
that's cool.
You know, maybe even the library could buy a weather radio and
do a door prize.
And do it like a door prize for people that came by.
And
they could give out their storm tracking maps. even though no one uses those anymore, but still.
The kids could use it to look at teaching things.
Okay. So, all right, let me go back to our budget.
Sorry.
No, no, it's okay, it's all stuff we need to talk about anyway.
We're just trying to save you a little money, get some free advertisements.
Well, it just worries me when we're asking people to, for money, and we got millions in the bank.
Yeah.
But we've got a lot we wanna do.
We have a lot we wanna do, and it's set aside for specific projects. We've saved for a long time for, to be able to do these projects without going back and saying, hey, can you pay more taxes?
Yeah.
So that's.
And hopefully we'll have the Singer and East pretty well.
I think Singer, we've got a very good shot of having the new Singer up and running well before the election. The East Beauregard one might be close, but I think we will definitely have visible progress by that point.
And signage, we ought to have signage, you know, home of your future library.
Yeah.
And that will really help as far as push the vote, that'd be good.
Or try to get your permanent sign in there early.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be good as well.
Okay.
Is it gonna be a, like a lighted sign, or is it just gonna be a brick and?
I don't remember what the plan is, honestly.
I'm just thinking it's out there kind of in the middle of nowhere. I don't know how much a lighted sign would be, or if that's just asking for trouble.
I don't think it's asking for trouble.
I mean, I don't know what the difference in signs, but lit ones are certainly easier to see at night.
Definitely, yeah.
Not that they're gonna be open at night.
Even some type of solar lighting.
Yeah.
Even if you had a light just shining on it, cause then as people drove by it at night, they would know it's there, and if they wanted to come back later, they could.
Yeah. Okay. So we're looking at, as far as our ad valorem taxes being paid to us in the beginning of next year for us to use next year. The assessor's office is telling me 2.4 million. I'm using 96% of that as our figure to allow for, you know, uncollected taxes or delinquent taxes or whatever. So I'm looking at $2,304,802 coming in from ad valorem taxes next year. The state treasurer's office is telling me 54,408 as far as state revenue sharing goes. 3,000 for fees, which is using our copy machine or faxing or buying a USB drive or something like that from us. That's pretty steady. That's what we've been doing for the past several years. And it seems to be holding up this year as well. So I was kind of worried, since our traffic coming in the door is about half of what it was pre-COVID. But apparently that half that's coming in is the half that's using our copier and has been buying stuff. So that number has stayed pretty steady. Fines, I dropped down to 1,000. Y'all will remember we started the fine-free pilot project. So hardly any of our items have overdue fines assessed anymore. So I dropped this down to 1,000. It was around 3,000, 3,500 before.
So why don't we have any?
ILL items still accrue overdue fines, and equipment still accrue overdue fines.
Okay.
Interest, I've dropped this way down to 400. We were looking at like 1,200, but you all know what interest has been doing, so I'm dropping it way down. And then gifts and donations and grants, I've put 1,300. I think 300 as far as just individual donations is pretty easy for us to do in a year. And then if we do a grant for at least $1,000, which I think is pretty much a shoe-in at some point next year, then that'll put us at 1,300. And then my anticipated carry forward is that 3.2 million in bold there. So if we add, and this is not written down there, so I'm sorry, but if we add that 3.2 million carry forward to the anticipated revenue for the year, which is the 2,364,910, we come with 5,634,517. So then we start looking at our annual expenditures, and I'm looking at personnel services coming in a bit over 1.3 million. It's not a whole lot more than we did last year. but it is a little more than we did last year. Reason being, our mandated employer contribution for the parochial retirement system has dropped from 12 and a quarter percent to 11.5%. Our insurance premiums, health insurance premiums, that we budgeted for last year never got as high as what we budgeted for. And they said that rate is locked in until April of 2022 and that it may go up again. But if it goes up, it's not gonna go up more than 10%. So what I have budgeted for covers that. So it may not even be as much as I budgeted, but I budgeted enough to cover it. This does allow me to hire two clerks for the East Beauregard branch once it's opened. We have started in almost all of our rural settings having two clerks there during open time, in part for security, mm-hmm. But also in part so that we can have more programs at the branches or more regularly have programs at the branches, and the people who are there doing those programs for the people they see every day, so it feels more community driven. And that seems to be going pretty well for us, so we plan to keep that going.
What kind of hours will they have at East?
I don't know yet, but I'm thinking probably at least 32 hours a week.
Oh, they'll be open that much?
I would think so.
Were they used to be open that many hours?
When they closed, they were open, I want to say it was like 16 to 20 hours a week before.
Now, your branch isn't open that much, just one
Tuesday,
day?
Tuesday, Friday,
Saturday.
Saturday.
Okay. But just a few hours.
Yeah, half days.
Are we going to look into maybe
increasing hours? Yes, absolutely.
So the same people won't be working at other branches when they're not working?
What no, well, not unless the
day
branch schedules are staggered. Otherwise, it just... No, it wouldn't work. So that remains to be seen.
So are those just part-time people?
Yeah.
They don't work anywhere else other days, not back up here or...
What we usually do is have them here at least for half a day once a week. It's just going to depend on how we schedule it out. So then if we look at operational services, asking $309,755. I told you this one had a pretty big jump on it. In part because we want to add more hours at the rural locations, in part because we're going to have a totally new location that we have to do utilities for, and one of the other branches we're going to a bigger building that we have to do utilities for. Utilities in and of themselves have gone up this year anyway, so when we add more square footage and more hours on top, we're going to see an increase. We are looking at, like I said, doing an increased budget as far as marketing efforts go for next year, and that would come out of here too.
What about the website, the maintaining
website? We think most of the website fees for the coming year are going to be covered through the ARPA funds. If anything is left over, then it'll come out of this as well. But ARPA should be covering a year's worth of hosting. And then of course any professional fees, the auditor, any of our summer reading, special performers, that sort of stuff also comes out of operational. Materials and supplies I'm keeping flat here at 70,000. I may regret that later on and ask to amend this as the year goes on, just because of the cost of everything increasing. However, we are buying most of our branded swag, if you want to call it that, the different handouts for our outreach events and that sort of thing. We're trying to buy most of that with this year's budget, so there shouldn't be a whole lot of that out of next year's budget. Other than that, it's our standard. If it costs less than $2,000 and is a consumable, it's coming out of materials and supplies rather than equipment. Because $2,000 is our fixed asset threshold. So janitorial supplies, programming supplies, that sort of stuff all comes out of here. Library materials, we're looking at a bit under $300,000. It's about a $15,000 jump from what we did last year. One of the things we want to do is, we're looking at starting a library of things, is what we call it. It's, and you've probably heard of that from other libraries, if you've looked around. One of the things we want to do is start a musical instrument library. I have put my foot down and said no wind instruments and nothing with a spit valve. We are in the age of COVID. But other things like an accordion or, what's the little thingy called? The thumb thingy. I can't think of what it's called. Anyway, different kinds of instruments, guitars, ukuleles.
They're just going to be on display, right?
No. Oh, check out, take it home, try it.
Be a great way for a kid to see if he really likes.
Exactly. So we're looking at some instruments for that, maybe even some tools that you don't need all the time, you know, or basically the idea is, if it's something that would cost enough to be considered an investment, try before you buy.
The one that I liked that they had, I want to say in Sulphur, was cake pans.
That's what I was different shapes. They had cake pans and couches.
Because you know, how often do you need a heart-shaped cake pan?
Or a bunny.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Things you don't need very often.
Yeah. And don't want to spend the money on. Has a real good selection of them.
Yeah, they do. They're interesting.
They are.
I just have fun looking at them.
For me, I'm like, oh, look at all these cake pans.
So that's something we're looking at doing.
But now you're going to try to not be just everything that's possible out there, but narrow it down to.
No, we're going to have to try to decide
what
we're going to look at.
And
go with that. And there are things to consider, like if we were to go with tools, is there liability associated with that? Mm-hmm. You know, there are things to consider before we go that way, but it is something we're looking at.
Like, I think we were at some conference and there was a library that was close to a like a natural preserve where people hiked, and they actually had a backpack that was filled with the kinds of things that you would need only for hiking, that you wouldn't necessarily want to have all the time or make that investment.
Yeah.
I even thought about something like a wetback. You know, when we're going to have more hurricanes, mm-hmm. things that people could check out, you know. I don't know how much you want to get into the.
Do we still have typewriters?
Do I have one or two typewriters? They don't check out, but they are here.
Okay. The type in a form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so, you have to sit there for a minute and get your mind back in typewriter mindset before.
Hey, I learned on a manual.
Yeah, me too. Well, I still think this would be under other business at some point, but I think we ought to consider a generator at some point. And it doesn't have to run the whole building, but if we could provide power for people to come and charge their phones and have access to internet, I think that would be a big service, because we're going to have power outages again that are going to be for days. And
we're going to talk about that.
Good.
Okay, so equipment and furnishings, I've increased that to $70,000 over $60,000 for last year. And again, this is basically any fixed asset that's over $2,000. I did a little increase on it because while we have, for instance, the East Beauregard capital expense budget mm-hmm. that does include furnishings and stuff like that, with two new branches coming up in the next year, we're bound to overlook something and just need an extra piece of equipment or something. So
copiers,
that's
or phones
something.
Or something that didn't get included.
So that's where that's coming from. And then I'm doing $30,000 this year for training, travel, and education. We tend to stay in the $30,000 to $45,000 range, but since we're still just coming back mm-hmm. to doing in-person, and that's happening pretty slowly, our costs are just down more than they have been. So I think $30,000 will be more than enough for what we need next year.
For your things like copiers and phones and things, are they all purchased or any of those leased or what?
The phones are purchased. The big copier, the Patron color copier, is a lease.
Mm-hmm. that's the most economical way to do it, because then when it's time, you just.
So far it is, yeah. It's just trying to find the model that works best for you is the pain of it all. But yeah, leasing has been the easiest and most economical way to go, because.
They'll come service it.
Exactly.
Yeah, the technology gets old real quick.
Intergovernmental, I've bumped that up a fair amount over last year, but not a huge amount over what we actually spent this year. We budgeted $73,000. We actually ended up being charged $76,266. So I figure $78,000 should cover us next year. And then we move into dedicated funds. I'm looking at $10,000 for grant match. That's kind of just our standard amount that we go to every year in case we do come up against a grant that needs a match. Building and asset repair and replacement, $2.4 million. East Bow Capital, $465,000. Y'all remember we increased that one at one of our earlier meetings this year. South Bow, $603,500. Singer Capital, $277,333. That is what is currently remaining. If I get further along in the project before the end of the year, which I really want to do, then we may need to amend that budget. Hillman is $55. And McKelvin Bequest is just under $250,000. One of the things that, well, let me go about this a different way. You may have noticed that this building in particular, carpet's starting to come up in some places and unravel. Some places of wallpaper are starting to peel. This place hasn't been remodeled since right after the fire, so that was what, 95, 96? It's fairly old for as much use as it gets. And it's in very good shape for as much use as it gets, but it's time to redo several things like that. After the election, assuming a positive outcome of the election, I think using some of the BARR funds to start that refreshening process would be good here. Now, thinking about the generator. Previously, the board has said, you know, Mr. McKelvin was a DeRidder patron. This was his home library. We'd like to use those funds for DeRidder. Estimates are coming in right around $250,000 to get a full building generator in and set up and ready to go. I would like us to consider using the McKelvin funds for that project, because while it is a DeRidder project, if our internet stays up here, then patrons throughout the parish who somehow through their data plan or whatever can still access it would still be able to access those servers. So it's a DeRidder project, but it's also a larger project. So I'd like us to consider doing that. But at that price point, it is a project that we would need to bid out, because the estimate I got was $248,000 and some odd. If it's over $250,000, you have to bid it out. So if one little thing needs to be redone or price goes up on one little supply, it's going to be over that amount. So I'd like us to look at doing that, and that I think it would be a good use of the McKelvin funds.
Now, would that be a natural gas?
I would like to put it on the natural gas supply that runs through town, yes.
Right. I think that's, then you don't have to worry about propane and getting it delivered.
Right, because I do not want to put any kind of tank on the property.
No.
During storms and things, the gas is always...
It's underground, and it's available.
So it's available,
It's not failed us yet.
Okay.
It's been at my house.
It could happen, but normally no. Yeah.
Right. Normally and it's
even
protected.
Even in the big freeze and all of that.
Right. I still have hot water. Mm-hmm. Okay. Through every hurricane, I've had hot water.
Yeah,
I could take a shower.
I could cook. I have a stove and water meter, and
well, then that would be a good investment.
Oh, yes, it is. I think when I saw that idea, I thought, great idea.
Even your furnace.
Furnaces.
Mm-hmm. During the winter when they had all that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Problem is, it won't blow, but.
You can get up next to it.
only other dedicated fund is the 75th anniversary fund. They're spending most of their money in preparation before the end of this year, so they're just asking for $6,000 for the coming year. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the things they're planning during 2022 that will use those funds. Okay, looking at page 9, it talks about the fund balance projections, which is what we talked about at the beginning. Estimating we're starting at a bit under 7.5 million, add in the revenues, take out the expenses, and we're looking at ending up at right around 3.5 million at the end of the year for our fund balances. And then I'm not going to talk through that last part on there. It's just a side-by-side comparison of 2021 and 2022. So if we're okay with that, we need an approval.
I guess we can go ahead and entertain a motion to what am I remembering that we have to do in a month?
As soon as we get the proposal approved, we need to set a time for a public hearing.
It's the public hearing. Okay, so we can.
So this is the proposed budget.
Yes.
So I move that we accept the proposed budget that Aaron has presented to us for 2022.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed budget for fiscal year 2022. Is there any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Okay, let's set a date, time, and we know the place for a public hearing.
So if I get this published in, I think it's too late to get it in Wednesday's paper, but I can get it in Friday's paper. That timeline means the earliest we could have the public hearing would be November 16th, and we have to do it before the end of the year, so anything between that. And we can either get the whole board together for that, or today you guys can assign a subcommittee to handle the public hearing and final approval.
We've had pretty good luck with assigning a subcommittee. All we do is I will name two or three people who volunteer, and maybe three people. We need a semi-quorum. And we just come, it's a 5-minute deal. We just come in and vote on it and leave. Yeah.
I think you need a motion to set up a committee.
Yes.
Okay. I move that we set up a committee that will act on behalf of the whole board for this meeting that will be held to review the proposed budget.
I second that.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
And I have a second from Beth. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Okay, so when would you like to meet? Thanksgiving is the 25th.
Are there people that are here in town that could? So you said after the 16th?
Right.
The 16th or after?
The 16th or after.
16th is a Tuesday?
Yes.
So that would put us at Thursday, Friday of that week. If you need my body, I'm out the week of Thanksgiving. Or we can come back and do it the following week, which would be
the 29th.
29th and forward of 29th of November and forward.
Yeah, I mean, I can do almost anything the week of the 16th or the week of the 29th. So whatever works for
Tranquil, are you in town? It really doesn't matter, but the fact that, the three of us are Deritter makes it easy for us to just pop over here and do and leave in 5 minutes.
The week of the 16th, I'll be in Walnutsburg, oncology and all, but I'm free the following week, I will be here. Well, that's Thanksgiving week.
That Thanksgiving week, so about like the week of the 29th.
The 29th of Monday, I'm all about a week, I can be here.
What's good for you?
I don't know what time, I don't have my schedule in front of me. I mean, the latest I can, I mean, at worst case scenario, I could be here at 6:10, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, make it at 6:10 on, did you say you can do the 29th?
Mm-hmm.
You want to do it at 6:10 on the 29th, Monday?
Okay, 29th. And if I find out tomorrow that I get off earlier that week, I mean, then we could change it to 5 o'clock.
We've got to publish it, so
okay.
It would be better to have it a safe
yeah. one. I mean, I could let you know tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's true.
Yeah.
Earlier
would
is better
for
you,
Tranquil? Or you, is 6 o'clock better, or could 5 work? Or?
You're in town, I'll leave that day.
Okay,
then we'll leave it up. You
okay.
Set the time.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Okay, so the 29th at 5 or 6. And 3 should be enough people, I would think.
3, okay. I think that's what we've done before.
The rest of you are welcome to come.
Yeah, I'm just saying that for a 5-minute meeting,
I agree.
You know, that's yeah, very much so. That's the only reason, just the practicality of word to Ritter is the reason I'm suggesting the three of us. We can have fun without you. Okay, thank you. That's good. And you move on to tell us about what's going on with COVID. Getting the exposed and isolated.
Yes, okay, so I'm not proposing this as a policy simply because if the CDC changes their recommendations, this would change, and for policies to change, I need board approval. So that's a whole lot of back and forth potentially. So as a procedure instead, this is what we're implementing going forward. I actually started it a couple days ago when I had a staff member say, hey, I had dinner with a friend who has since contracted COVID, what do I do? So just wanted to let you guys have that documentation, read over it, make sure you knew what I was doing. So we've got, you know, we're laying out when you isolate, at least away from work, what you do if you tested positive versus were exposed to someone who tested positive, and that kind of veers off into those who have been fully vaccinated versus those who have not been fully vaccinated have two different courses of action. We outline, you know, we don't guarantee that you can work from home during your isolation. If we have something that you can do, great. If not, that's just the way it is. I'm not going to come up with something for you to do. And outlines the expectations on both the supervisor's part and the employee's part while they are quarantined and working from home, if they are indeed working from home. So that's just what that is. Just wanted to keep you guys.
So is this
updated.
Have you developed this as a policy? Is that what you've done?
I'm not doing it as a policy.
It's just a working guideline.
It's our procedure. Yeah.
And the only thing let's see, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. I just have one question on it. Are they doing 7 days you can come back if no symptoms? You got 10.
I'll double
10.
Check.
You got 10. I think it's 7. Unless
okay.
That's changed again. I mean, that'd save you some work hours.
It would.
I think it's 7 if there's no symptoms that you can return.
Well, sometimes you can on these procedures. Your procedure can be, we're going to follow whatever the current CDC guideline is, which may change.
Right.
And so, you know, then if that's built in at the beginning and you can say, as of this date, this is what it is, but then if you do see that they've updated, then you can come in and update it without bringing it back.
But that's where this is from, I thought it was 7, and that might have changed, but I thought it was 7, I know that's what my husband's doing at his work, it's 7 days.
Well, then how about that?
I don't think it's, I don't think it would have been made any longer, if anything, it's a little shorter.
I think it's short, I think it's 7 days.
So are they taking sick leave or vacation pay, or?
If they have banked sick leave available, which is usually reserved for chronic conditions or recovering from surgery or something like that, I'm letting them use banked leave. If they don't, regular sick leave, if they're out of all of that, annual leave, if they're out of all of that, it's unpaid leave.
Okay.
So we could add, for the section that is about quarantine and returning to work, we could just put in following CDC's recommendation.
Because then you're gonna have everybody doing something differently, and that's what's happening.
Well, that way you could keep looking at it, if it changes, then you can change.
Yeah.
Cause it may tighten up, it may loosen up, and you can just kind of be a series of looks.
Okay.
Okay, moving on to old business, Singer update.
Okay, so the good news is E-Rate has approved funding 80% of the cost of getting fiber internet run to the new building.
Yeah.
So we're only gonna pay 20% of that.
To the Singer branch.
To the new Singer branch, yes. They've actually, remind me to talk about East Beauregard for a second, too, as far as fiber goes. As you heard earlier, if you were here before the meeting, the fire marshal's office still has our plans for the building. We've been in contact several times. We have, the architect has, I just don't know what the holdup is.
Well, it's too far down the pile, like on their desk, they need to move us up to the top of their pile.
They must have a backlog or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe when Hurricane Ida came through and one of the, like the Baton Rouge, New Orleans offices were possibly damaged or not staffed for a while, did that stuff get moved up to Alexandria where our stuff is? I don't know. But anyway, our stuff is there. However, so we're not just sitting here twiddling our thumbs, we have put together, you know, the list of all the other things outside of those ADA changes that the fire marshal has to approve, all those other renovations we want done. Molly and Beth and I talked to an interior design intern last Monday and signed off on finishes and that sort of thing. So the documentation is ready to turn over to contractors and say, give me an estimate as soon as we get that approval in. And I have got two contractors lined up who said, yes, I'm interested in giving you an estimate and working on this. So, and I'm thinking I'll try to get in touch with Total Construction, Total Contract, Total something or other, and see if they want to be a third one.
See their
so
trucks.
So what does the architect or the contractors tell you? Do they ever kick it back from the fire marshal's office and say this won't work or this isn't what we want?
The fire marshal certainly can do that.
Right.
There's no indication that that's what's going on here.
No, right, they just hadn't gotten to it.
Right.
So what I'm wondering is how confident are they that what we proposed will fly and that we could get bids on that?
He's as confident as he can be. It's
but we can't
not
actually
a,
get a bid until they have signed off.
Not without running the risk of having to
redo.
Go back and redo, tear out something and redo it, and we don't want to do that. Whenever we get the approval from fire marshal, I'm gonna go to permit office here at police jury office and say, hey, we need permits for this too. But this permit office tends to, if you go in and say fire marshal was okay with it, they don't tend to give you a hard time about anything. They're just, okay, let's do it. So as soon as we get that approval.
How long has fire marshal had this?
Over a month. Maybe
like
two.
It seems like it's more than a month, more like 2 months.
It, I know it was right around time Ida came through. That was what? That was late August, right?
Early July.
Wasn't that far back?
No, it was August.
Was it August?
It was the reunion of
It was August.
Katrina.
Oh, yeah. That's right, that's
right. It's a bad week. So that's what we're waiting.
That is 2 months. That's all of September and all of October.
So then there's that other, the multi-agency facility project that's also going on in Singer. I did sign a letter of intent, not a contract, it's not contractual, that we are interested in an occupancy of the space in that building when it's there. So we're somewhat moving forward with that project as well. I don't know a timeline on that, but I do know that their plan is to build behind the building we are moving into.
Isn't that a pond?
There is a pond back there, yes.
That is not really a pond.
It's a little bit, I mean, there's water.
The boat we're gonna be in.
That's water.
Houseboat.
I passed it today and I thought, where is that gonna be? That pond is there.
They're gonna work around the pond.
Okay.
But they're planning to build behind where the current branch is so that we can be in it and provide services until we're ready to just move into a place in the new building, and then they'll tear down that building. So the plan is to not disturb continuation of services if we don't have to.
What about the house?
That one would get torn down while they're doing the construction.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the best looking little thing.
It is a cute little building. Can.
But I tell you, that cinder block building, that thing is well insulated.
Instead of just demolishing it, can it be taken apart and repurposed those materials?
I don't know.
Or sell it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, bid it out for, because someone could come in, take that apart, take it to their house and rebuild
it. Together. Yeah.
And, you know, not maybe the inside, but that metal, because metal is extremely expensive.
Yeah, it's worth looking at maybe putting on one of the police jury's auctions or something, so that at least something comes out of it.
You can, yeah, because one of the places we visited when we were looking at metal buildings, it was the gym. Her family had put that building together.
We have a shop at our house, and my husband and some friends, they put it together. It's supposedly, well, it is quite easy to do if you know what you're doing. So someone could salvage that. Because I'd hate to just see it go to a landfill or something.
Right.
Yeah, just put
plus
it in a
if we
dumpster.
Could get a little money out of it, that's even better.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know that we would get the money though, would we? Then we go to the police jury?
Well, we spent the money.
That would be, if we put it on a surplus auction, we get the money.
I told you my thoughts of that the other day. When they build the new building, we're supposed to rent from them. And I said, well, you know, we're the ones that got it in motion. Why should we have to?
Yeah, we haven't come up with any kind
property.
Of guides on any leasing terms or anything
and
like that. But
we
have
not
going to
spend any money on the building when it's built.
The new one?
Huh?
No.
Okay, so then we would have to rent it. It's not like we're putting anything into it.
But originally that was our property.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to get discounts. I just don't know how big the discounts are or how long
really
they are.
Discounts.
So that's,
can we help build
I'd like to know how long
section
how long
so
the
memory
is going
to
be on that
rent.
You know, I'd like to know how long the memory is going to be on that one. How long they'll remember this.
Right. Well, I'll be in the background, that little wilderness.
You can't die.
I don't plan on it. That's not on my bucket list right now.
Okay. Let's see.
MCAL.
Yeah, that was the MCAL thing.
Right. Then you said, don't let me forget East Beauregard.
Yes, thank you. Because I did. I mentioned that FEMA is paying 80% of running fiber to Singer. Previously, our plan for East had been to put one of the big towers up that gets microwave Wi-Fi to the building. It's what we have at South Beauregard right now as well. But the ISP, Conterra, came to us and said, hey, if you want us to go to fiber instead of the microwave tower, we'll do that. If you extend your contract with us for 2 years, but we won't charge you more to do the fiber as opposed to the microwave tower. So we're doing that. Mm-hmm. So we're getting fiber instead of a tower at no added cost.
And the fiber's gonna be buried.
Yes.
Versus the tower that
yes.
can
hurry up
down.
And do that one before they change their mind.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, so I signed off on that one
good.
Last week.
Okay.
I think that takes
do
us to
FEMA,
right?
Do you need board
approval? Right?
Is there money?
No, I've got that one.
Okay.
I got it.
You pick up that tail.
No, I'm just worried about, you know, she's got her authority limits, so we need to...
Okay. The FEMA update is next. So... We are still working with FEMA, but the end is in sight, at least for the first part of working with FEMA, because you know you have to report to them for like 5 years afterwards. But they did approve funding 90% of the eligible expenses for repairs here and the Singer building, because we had to redo the roof at Singer and get it re-leveled and all that kind of stuff. So we got a check for just over $93,000 last month from FEMA.
Nice.
Yay,
so that was
affordable.
Good. They're still trying to determine if we qualify for reimbursement on our emergency protective measures. I think the holdup is trying to determine if purchasing the ozone generator qualifies as an emergency protective measure, since we used it to try and kill off any mold or anything like that that started growing in the branches. But they have to determine a cost for it and all this sort of stuff, and then see if all of our costs that are eligible meet their threshold. So when they determine that, we'll know if we're getting anything back from them for that part of it. But that's all we're waiting on from FEMA at this point.
So we have an ozone generator?
We have a portable ozone generator.
Here we are trying to not put ozone out into the atmosphere, and we're generating more. Okay.
It kills mold. So yeah, it will do up to a 4,500 square foot area.
At a time.
Yeah.
And you just leave it running?
You leave it running near circulation, so either near the air intake or have some fans going or something like that.
Save some money in the long run, though. I mean, you hate the ozone,
oh,
but
yeah.
Just,
yeah.
That mold is bad.
Yeah. So, okay, that's that one.
C, police jury decision tax election.
Yeah, I think I mentioned earlier they did approve us going out on the April 30th ballot for next year. And there's a note in there about what we can and can't use the library funds on as far as advertising and that kind of stuff, which we talked about earlier. So that one's check, did that.
Mm-hmm. Free pilot update.
Okay, so you've got a couple of pages there that talk about what we've seen as far as the impact of going fine free. So I've got 2 years before we went fine free, 18 and 19, and then the 2 years since then. I do have the 2020 numbers in here. I don't think we should put much weight into those numbers because 2020, the operations were just so
crazy
for us and all our patrons and everything. So so we can go through the information here, but the short version is what I have seen is that this program is not doing anything detrimental to the library. I'm not seeing an increase in the number of people who just don't bring back their items, and we're just losing stuff going out the door and never seeing it again. No, that's pretty steady from what it was the 2 years before we started doing this. So I don't think anything detrimental is happening to our collection as far as that goes. the positives I'm seeing, you know, anytime my staff doesn't have to start a conversation with, oh, you owe us money, no matter how politely you phrase it, that's gonna be a better interaction with the public, which is always a good thing. I've also got staff spending less time on paperwork, tracking all of these transactions for very small amounts of money most of the time. So I'm saving staff time on that. Now, whether or not it's doing anything good as far as our collection goes, I'm also not seeing it mean that people are bringing back more items. Like I said, it's staying pretty steady. But basically when I'm looking at this, what I see is I've more or less got maybe a full year's worth of data to look at, and that's not really enough to see a trend. So I recommend we either extend the project and monitor it and try to see a trend before we make a call, or we just say there's nothing detrimental happening, so why go back to what we were doing before that takes more time with the staff and this kind of thing. And I'll leave that up to you guys to decide which way you want to go with that, but I don't think that at this point saying no, stop the Find Free program is the way to go.
Do we need a motion if we don't do anything?
No.
We just keep doing what we're doing.
We just keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah. And you're gonna keep studying it?
We'll keep track of the numbers and see what.
Because we haven't had a normal year.
That's what I was thinking. I don't think we've got enough good data yet.
Yeah. I mean, 21 is normaler, but it's still not normal.
It might be our new normal.
Yeah, maybe.
So just keep tracking, I guess.
Anybody feel like putting a motion for it?
I move that we just keep monitoring, not make a permanent change yet.
All right, we have a motion to keep monitoring.
Yeah,
and I have a second. All in favor of keeping monitoring, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We keep monitoring. All right. E is website committee update.
Okay, so Julie sent me in this, actually this one and the next committee update. And I'm sure you all had time to read through it before. Short version is, or the highlights are, we've hired the Novari Library Service to handle our new website. She is creating a new public website as well as an intranet, a staff website. We are going to host it locally, but we are paying maintenance fees for them to make sure everything is, they come in like once a month and just maintain the site. So that seems to be going well. Julie kind of keeps me up to date on what's going on with that and shares little bits of what's going on. There is a test site. I don't have the URL with me, but kind of to see what progress is being made. The plan is still to go live in January. I don't know if we'll hit January 1, but January of 2022 is still the plan for when the new website will be live. So that's in line with what we wanted as far as timeline goes. So I'm excited about that.
And it doesn't put any strain on staff because they're basically out of the picture.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have some interaction as far as like content management, but not the back-end technical running of the site. Mm-hmm. And she is creating, I don't know if she's creating or acquiring and implementing some kind of calendar software as well. The calendar software we use right now online is clunky and hard to work with. It looks terrible on a mobile device, so I'm looking forward to an improvement on that. Mm-hmm. She also gave me an update for the 75th anniversary committee. You guys may remember we had an art contest going for all the K-12 kids, and they had over 540 submissions.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing. When you came in, most of y'all came in this way, if you go out this way, you'll see on those interior windows, there's a whole bunch of coloring pages and button designs that the younger kids did, that didn't go as far as the final voting, but we wanted to showcase them. So we've got these here, and we sent some to the other branches that came from those local schools to show them too. So that was pretty
staff
awesome.
Did a good job of getting getting to the school the art teachers in time, and so that it was actually them that were generating all of getting the kids to do it.
Yeah, good. It was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. When that many students involved, say half the parents know what they're doing, then that's more advertising about it and about mm-hmm. the library.
Absolutely,
yeah, that's good.
And we had. I don't think we got pictures of all of these winners that I've got listed here, but we were able to get some pictures of the kids picking up their prizes or with their design or whatever. And I had at least one of the schools, I think it was either Pinewood or K.R. Hanshey, I don't remember which, contacted us and said, hey, we saw this picture, it's one of our students, can we put it on our website? So it's good that they're helping to promote these kids. We did purchase the 75th anniversary stickers to go on the spines of all the incoming items. Mm-hmm. And those are on the items that are going out now. So we've started that.
When does the year start?
Well, it technically January, but they started it in October, putting the spines on.
Why not? Yeah.
Get the promotion started. So we've got that going on, and then the committee is also planning for larger events during the actual year of 2022. They're going to do some kind of kickoff on January 15th, yes, 15th, and then they're looking at doing probably a summer reading kickoff as another major event. Something in the fall, haven't decided what yet, or if they have, I've forgotten what it is. And then the actual anniversary is December 11th, which is a Sunday. So on December 10th, we're gonna do some kind of open house event or something along those lines. So those are the event plans for during the year. And then of course, we're also planning some of the other programs that we would have done regardless, just our regular programs, putting a kind of spin on them to make them help promote 75th anniversary and help celebrate that.
Well, one of the things we talked about in that committee was most of the events lend themselves to doing them here in DeRidder because it's a bigger building, but to somehow get the branches involved in some way, if nothing else, to have cookies or little promotional things or whatever, something to, when we're celebrating something here, to do it out there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we did just buy a new like canopy tent kind of thing that has the new brand on it and all that kind of stuff. So I think that will help whenever we need more space than we have inside at some of the smaller branches. We've got a little, I mean, it's not a huge canopy or anything, but at least there's a little,
little
something to help bring the outside in or the inside out, or however that should be phrased.
Well, am I remembering, like, did the DeRidder Study Club help with the founding of the library and getting it established? I know they've helped at other events with, like, refreshments and mm-hmm. serving and that sort of thing. They probably would be glad to help again.
Probably so. Is the DeRidder Study Club still, are they meeting again?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because the Thursday is not.
Well, they've been meeting virtually.
Okay.
They had one meeting in person last May, but then they went back, well, we've been back virtually this fall,
okay.
But they're talked about starting the next meeting back in person, but they can't find a place to do it. And they had problems when they were
open
here.
Now.
I know, but they had problems because they couldn't reserve the room every month.
They can for about 6 months at a time.
So who do they need to talk to?
Mary.
Mary. Mary.
Bright Christ.
Our branch manager.
Mary, what's your last name?
Breitkreitz, Breitkreutz.
I'm impressed that you...
That sounds French.
So we could res- reserve it for 6 months at a time?
Yes.
I'll put the person that does programming on that.
Okay.
I don't know if there'd be, is there anybody that would even come and speak to the history of the library? Is there?
Could probably get someone from the state library to come. They've got a collection of all the different libraries that they helped start up. Because it was first a demonstration library from the state.
I wonder if somebody could come and just do it and speak and have a little open house.
Yeah.
You know, something in the fall or.
Yeah.
Do we have people still in the past workers that have retired that would be able to come and share and tell stories or?
If they're willing.
Give their personal account of.
We've talked about people like Vince LeBoux, who's very knowledgeable about the parish and kind of famous people of the parish, and talk about having people like him.
Yeah, but he doesn't know anything about the history of the library or
who. No, yeah, not the library, but just people. I think he's put together some stuff because he's gone to churches and given presentations, and then I think there's been some columns in the paper that he's done.
Can't think of the guy's name that used to be over the museum. He may know a lot.
Mr. Hanchy?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've got, it takes a little digging to go back through it, but we've got the names of all the trustees through however long. So, I mean, it may be maybe pulling some of those out and getting with Mr. LeBoux and seeing if he's got tidbits about these people that may help bring it back to the library. I don't know.
And then, you know, right now the chamber is doing the thing with the individual buildings that's here downtown where they're coming up with plaques to put the history when it was established, what years different businesses. So Lisa may even have some kind of input.
With
Angela, did y'all discuss trying to do a community read again?
I'm sorry, say again?
Did y'all discuss trying to do a community read again, like we talked about it one time? And
how did we talk about it? We talked about it, we didn't talk about it specifically. I think we were talking about potential giveaways, and we thought about giving away the book if we did a read. The big read book. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that would be worth trying.
I thought at one time Cassie wanted to do it with the mayor's office.
Yes.
Is that right? I think the issue was
they didn't want to read the big read book. They wanted to read the book they wanted to read.
I think that was it.
Different communities read different books.
That was a different.
Yeah, I think the title selected wasn't going to go over well.
It was when Ron was in office, yes. And he wanted to read something.
Oh,
I can't remember.
Was it the Confederacy?
It was all Kingsmen.
Oh, it was all Kingsmen. Okay, I knew it was one of those a little bit different.
Yeah. But that was set in Louisiana.
Yes.
And I think the other issue was we were trying to get the high school involved, mm-hmm. and there was no interest there.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know what we could find.
So
I don't know. Just thinking about something that would create more community involvement than than people that necessarily might come to the library to an event or something.
Yeah, we've also talked about things like having, if we're having a big event here, having monitors, you know, having monitors in the branches and having them have their own party, mm-hmm. get together and are talking to each other, you know, remotely.
Mm-hmm. Via Zoom or something.
Yeah, the point is that we're conscious of it can't just be a derivative event.
We're all one library.
Celebrations across the parish kind of thing.
Agenda item number 7, reports.
So the first one is the year-to-date budget report. Our income has been pretty darn good this year. So we are currently $350,000 over what we expected to receive. Part of that is, you know, that FEMA reimbursement was a big chunk of that. The American Rescue Plan Act funds was another almost $50,000 of that. So there were some one-time things that came through that helped make that up. As far as the expenses go, we seem to be pretty well on track with everything. I did want to ask someone to make a motion, please, to reduce the current year's budgeted building and asset repair and replacement by $44,000. Because back when we increased the East Beauregard, we never balanced that with anything. So we need to do this to make sure we stay in balance. It's got to come from somewhere, and building an asset repair and replacement is the best solution for me.
Do I have a motion to that effect?
I'll move that, whatever she said.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't say it again.
Do I have a second?
As long as it's in fun money.
To that effect? Molly seconds that effect.
I'll second whatever that was.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All right. Circulation such as it is.
Yeah, let's talk about circulation. So our digital stuff is fine. Our physical stuff is taking a downward trend. It has been for years, and that's kind of what we're seeing nationwide. It's not local to us, but it is a concerning trend. Last month, we attended the Association of Rural and Small Libraries virtual conference, and one of the sessions there was on ideas for promoting the collection and helping to increase that. So I'm going to get with our marketing PR coordinator and see if we can kind of implement some of those ideas, maybe come up with some additional ideas to try and do more promotions of the collection itself and hopefully get those numbers up. It's not going to be an overnight jump up, but I think if we can start, you know, just implementing some of those techniques into our workflow regularly, hopefully we'll see an upward trend. So that's what
kind of things did they talk about?
Well, her idea was spend 5 minutes a day promoting your collection, whether it's doing like little book talks or just unboxing videos for your social media or whatever. Do that. Use posts on your social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, whatever, that just gets people talking about or thinking about what they have read, what they want to read next. You know, I'm sure you've seen those. I can't even think of any of the examples right now, but it's a what's your favorite author kind of thing, you know, that sort of thing. Some of those types of things. And then there's, you know, she talked about one-on-one reader's advisory, which is part of what we do every day. Keeping like the bestsellers list, the New York Times bestseller list or whatever, available on your website and easily link into the catalog, so it's just a click through and put your request on it or that sort of thing. So just some different ways to do more promotion, because we promote our events a lot, but not promote the collection.
Right.
Yeah, one of the things we have a very good collection of is cookbooks. Mm-hmm. That would be a good one to promote. And it occurred to me that I don't know if there's politics involved here or not, but what occurred to me is that we really have a very faith-based community. I mean, we've got a lot of churchgoers, and I wonder if we could look at our books in that area, you know, the and you can go different denominations and some of the popular writers,
yeah,
that, you know, that do inspirational stuff that people would want to read.
Yeah, I mean, we've got it's not all shelved together as one collection, but we've got a large collection of like Christian fiction,
mm-hmm,
kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Not just to say nothing of the nonfiction.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of nonfiction, but Christian fiction is a big one. Yeah, that's, mm-hmm, a good one too. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and back to the community read, something like that would spark interest.
That
in
might be a
talking.
Great community read because of exactly what we're, you know, something everybody has in common is being Christian. You know,
mm-hmm,
this. I'm saying our population happens to be mostly Christian, so that would be something that would tie people together.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we've got the monthly report that has more of the statistics on it, program attendance, that sort of thing. And that is, like I said, our library visits. The one you have in your packet is September. That was the last full month I had when I sent this out. So we had just under 2,500 visits across the system. And that feels like about half of what we were seeing pre-COVID.
That doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me either, but I'm not happy about it.
Right.
Well,
and you have a visit if somebody accesses an online book request. Is that part of that?
No, this is in the dorm, is it?
Yeah.
The problem is that some of these changes are becoming
right,
new
permanent
norms.
Right.
Yes.
So
yes.
People, if they're working from home, kids are still doing remote,
mm-hmm,
school, some,
right.
So then they would be accessing databases and books online, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Now, we are tracking virtual visits to the library as well, and that's on here. It's in the right hand column, about not quite halfway down the page. So that's 8,400 virtual visits. So they hit our website somewhere. And
that's another one to promote. You know, we do genealogy. They've added some newspapers to the collection, virtual collection, that they're very good. Julie showed me how, you know, to think of somebody, and sure enough, their obituary was on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I normally think of Ancestry for my source,
mm-hmm,
of obituaries, but I hadn't thought about coming online and looking. So there's that's another one to promote.
Mm-hmm.
That there's, I don't think we all know all that you've got available.
All your databases and how to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know, I used to request a lot of books as I find out about something I'd requested, y'all didn't have it. And it was laborious to go in and type everything in, and it ought to be easy. If you're logged in, you ought to be able to just click, request this book, except that if it's not in the collection and it's new, then you have to type,
mm-hmm,
in the name and the year and the author and,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff. I don't know that there's any way to make that any better.
That might, isn't, would the web design look at that?
I would think so. That might be on the, would that be on the intranet side or the, I don't remember. But if it's something that is already in our collection, and you're logged in to your,
mm-hmm,
account, you should be able to just
click
reserve.
Right, I think you can. But it's if one is not in the collection.
Yeah,
okay.
Then you've got to put in the information so we know what to buy for you.
Right. So it's not like Amazon that doesn't have it on the shelf, but they have a picture of it on their website, and you can click on it and say, order it for me. They run get it from their warehouse. Or, you know,
no, we're
it.
Not that. We're not
right.
That advanced.
Right.
No.
Right.
We're not Amazon.
Let's see, what else? So, okay, we've also got the activities report. I let you guys know when it happened that we had to close for a couple days whenever a lot of our staff were exposed and potentially exposed to COVID. So that was early September. And it's got a list of the different community involvements and things like that we did. We actually had quite a lot go on this quarter. At least it felt like it. We had National Night Out in August. Had a really good turnout. 280 visitors at our booth in less than 3 hours. Or right at 3 hours, I should say. We had a booth at the fair with like 900 visitors come through. Our float won first place in the fair parade for the civic and nonprofit category. So that was fun. We had our Beauregard event, our annual Halloween event we did last Friday, and had 360 some odd people come through in a 2 hour time span.
I happened to go to the post office when they were coming out. They were everywhere, all kinds of goblins and witches. And,
it was pretty adorable.
Saturday?
That was Friday night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did it right before the trick-or-treat parade that they did down so that they could come to us and then do that and just knock out two things at one visit.
Right.
So we had a good time, and they seemed to have a good time. We did work with Rotary Club, put in an application for a grant from Save the Children for early literacy, and we have been approved, so we're going to use that money to start a 1,000 Books Before Kindergarten program in the library. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about that. I've got a virtual meeting with them week after next, I think it is, talk more about how to set that up and what they need for their reporting and that sort of thing. So that's just under $10,000. We'll get to start that.
So with all this kind of stuff that you do like that, or even unpacking books or CDs, if that gets on Facebook and Instagram, and then if we can tie into like the city of DeRidder and DeRidder Moms group, mm-hmm. and ask them to like our things, then doesn't that show up then on more feeds?
Absolutely, yes.
Gets more traffic.
That's definitely how you get a larger audience viewing.
Do we have, and this isn't the right term, but like videotaped presentations that we can offer to through the internet?
Of what?
Well, so how to access our database, and somebody could be talking and show the clicks and everything, and it could be a YouTube video, and then some of that you could say on
one of the guys in an organization that I'm in, he did a talk at Repeats and sent us a link, and I went and messed around in the Repeats library, and they have, you name it, they've got all kinds of people who come in and they get in front of a Zoom camera and make a presentation about something, and they have it taped, and so you can go in there and watch somebody tell you how to cook green beans, and somebody else is telling you how to create a box, you know.
Okay. We've started, so this year, y'all remember we got that LEH grant for the Louisiana Historic Crafts mm-hmm. and Tools series. Part of that got us some GoPro cameras, so those presentations we're filming and putting, I don't remember if we're putting it on, I know we're putting it through Facebook, but I don't know if it's just on Facebook or on our YouTube channel or what have you. So we can start growing that, and anytime we have someone come in, you know, we can just say, hey, it's all right if we record this.
Yeah.
So and just kind of start growing a library mm-hmm. of presentations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's certainly something we could see about doing.
That's something that I guess they've been doing it for a while, so they've got quite a bit available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not expensive.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you've got the equipment, there's really nothing to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very cool. What else did I want to tell you guys? We have, so I mentioned the ARPA funds we got earlier. We spent a large chunk of that on some solar-powered benches that have USB mm-hmm. rechargeable mm-hmm. recharging ports on it. We're adding a hotspot to each of those benches, and then we've got partners throughout the parish where we're gonna go put them out in the wild, so to speak.
Where are they gonna be?
So we've got, I think, 5 going to different city parks here in DeRidder. The sheriff's department's putting one at Maryville and Ragley, and why when he gets one out there.
At the sheriff's office area?
South Bow Rec District is putting one out by their ball fields, the playground that's right by their ball fields. The town of Maryville themselves are putting one out somewhere in Maryville.
And would they say provided by the Fort Park Parish Library?
So I've got Joey Governell doing decals right now. He's gonna put Fort Park Parish Library on one side, and then the network name and password on the other, so that they can access the Wi-Fi.
Are those are the benches that in the parking lot?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
You were like, what is that?
Where at?
So there's 1 or 2 of them are sitting out in the parking lot right now.
Our parking lot?
Yeah, my staff parking lot by the garage, so they're kind of tucked around behind because we were still working with getting things set up. But when they arrived, they were not well packaged for transit. And when they arrived, 8 of the 11 solar panels were totally shattered.
Oh my gosh.
So we had to get replacements sent in, and we're working on getting those installed and all that good stuff. So they haven't gone out to the partners yet, but I've got them. We're close to being ready. So I'm hoping within the next week or two, we'll have that out.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that one.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. And that's a lot of what's under the miscellaneous part there on that last page, is talking about the different partners we have, primarily.
That's cool too. I think that's kind of neat.
We did do something different for us this year in September, which is National Library Card Sign Up Month. We worked with some of the local businesses to choose a week towards the end of the month. And they said, okay, if any of our customers bring in their library card and show it to us, they'll get some kind of discount during that week. So Roosters worked with us on that, Roosters Chicken. I can't believe
Cat's
I'm blanking.
Coffee.
Cat's Coffee worked with us. I don't think Cat's Coffee ended up being open by the time that we came around. She was right there ready for opening.
Where is Cats?
Cats is where Get Healthy was, right down here.
Right over, okay.
Yeah.
And what, Rooster's Chicken?
And Rooster's is where the Waffle House used to be.
By the fairgrounds?
Yeah, by the fairgrounds. And
are they a fried chicken place?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Dear Me Boutique also partnered with us that week, so they did, I think it was a 10% discount when you shopped with them that week and showed your library card. So we were really excited with that. I wanted to try to do it, you know, keep doing it in years going forward, and just kind of grow, you know, started a little bit earlier. This idea came to us a little late, but start planning for it a little earlier.
Maybe Lulu's will give you a cupcake.
Yeah.
I'll talk to Cindy.
The other thing in your collection that you, somewhere I read that you had purchased a bunch of graphic books, and that's, are they physical or are they virtual?
What you read about was probably our physical collection. Hoopla does have a digital collection of graphic novels.
Both of those
would
be great to promote.
Yeah. I was reading something, I don't even remember where it was, but it was talking about the rate of words that tend to increase your vocabulary, you know, the more obscure words, the newer words, the rate of those you see in graphic novels is really high compared to just regular literature. I thought that's kind of interesting. So I guess they
use big words to go along with their pictures.
Maybe so.
I
don't read them, but maybe so.
But there again, promote them on something different every week. They have plenty of stuff to promote.
Yeah.
Who is your PR person that you like?
Heather Duff.
She's working out with us.
I love her. She's very creative. She's very responsive when we say, hey, do whatever. And she's working like 20 hours a week for us. So not working a whole lot, but we're getting a lot out of her. She's very efficient. So I'm very happy with her.
Is there any further business anyone wants to bring up?
Yes, Karen, with those libraries, with those books that we're gonna get, since it's Rotary's 100th anniversary and the library's 75th, is there a way that we can also purchase stickers for the spines of the books?
Well, we're not getting any books to go along with that Rotary thing. That just wasn't part of what that was budgeted for with those funds. But let me look at what we are going to get, because we're looking at doing like tote bags to haul some of the stuff, some of the, you know, big hauls of books for the kids and stuff like that. So I would think we could do 100th anniversary River Rotary Club. We would just need the logo that you want to use for that. But yeah, we could add that on stuff like that, or the pamphlets, anything like that that goes along with the program.
It's 100 years of Rotary in Ritter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Anything else? Entertain a motion to adjourn?
So
that was quick, Ben.
Anyone opposed? Thank you very much. Goodbye.